Well, I have a question. Where is the secret place of the Most High? I'm going to just stop for prayer at this time. Father, we do believe your word. We do trust you. Sometimes the things that are promised in the book don't seem to line up to what our present reality is. And how do we reconcile these things? I pray, Lord, that you would help me show that you are faithful and true to your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Where is the secret place of the Most High? And another question, how can you dwell there? How can you dwell in that secret place, wherever that is? And how do you abide or stay under the shadow of the Almighty? How do you do that? You see, to me there are two basic fears that we face. The fear of death and suffering. Those are very basic things. And look at all these promises. How do you reconcile them with the awful reality, say, of martyrdom or persecution or sickness? Now, I have a hard time with this sometimes. What I would like to believe is that this is saying I am or we are invincible, untouchable, and worry-free. Now, just think about that. And then we also read in John, turn your Bibles, John 15, Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we read other things. And somehow, it sounds a little different. Verse 18, beginning there. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. If I had not come and spoken to them, oh, wait a minute, back to 20, but if all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Again, I ask you, how do you reconcile the promises of Psalm 91 to what Jesus told us about martyrdom and persecution? How do you reconcile those things? Thinking merely as a natural person, it is very, very hard to. You see, sometimes God delivers, heals, and oftentimes he does not. What is the truth? What kind of faith and trust should we have? Can we have? It seems that no matter what comes our way, we are to have a certain faith or an attitude. There's something that we need to have. There's something that perhaps in our natural state of thinking we lack. We need a certain faith, a certain attitude. Let's go to Daniel. Get your book, your Bible, and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. going to read you something here. Let's go to verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you this in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Here comes the big but. "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, they walked up, but they didn't walk out before they were thrown in. They were thrown in. Now, the act of them throwing them in, you would have thought, would have convinced, on my way there, I would think, well, I'm done for now. But there they went, into the fire. And that fire was so hot that the people that were throwing them in died. They were burnt to a crisp. But they were delivered. And in the midst of the fire, there was like a fourth man in the fire. All right. So they were delivered. But they had to go in. Sometimes we can expect not to be delivered. Then what do we do? Where is our faith? I don't have that faith right at this particular minute. I don't have that faith. I don't want to get thrown in. I'd rather not be thrown in. Thank you. Daniel was thrown in to the lion's den. He wasn't daintily lowered down. Those people were afraid of those lions. They went, whew, and he was thrown in. But he came out. So what's going on? Who has this kind of courage, and who has this kind of faith? You see, what the boys said was, he is able to deliver us, but if not. Think about that. I frankly do not. I would need to pray, and I do pray, for God to give me the grace to face martyrdom, if that is to be my fate. How about you? Are you ready to be thrown to the lions, into the furnace, beheaded, burnt at the stake? Are you ready? I see a need of help here. Help. Help me. I have a certain knowledge of the reality, the truth of Jesus Christ and what the cross is all about and what he has done for us. But how do I fully grasp this truth in such a manner as to have it grip me so that I totally, 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 totally sell out to him and let the message set me ablaze with zeal and with enthusiasm so that with conviction and unshakable faith, with such courage of my convictions that I would look upon martyrdom as not a fearful thing, but as the highest honor I could achieve in this life. That is exactly how these martyrs felt. They were honored to suffer for the name of Christ. Paul apparently could, and he did. Look what he says. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's just read about the mighty apostle Paul. Chapter 11, and beginning at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Do your math. How many times was he hit with a whip? Oh, no. 5 times that. Minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and he wasn't talking about getting high. He was hit with rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own country, my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Oh, boy, where did Psalm 91 go? Something must have happened in the life of Paul that he could see beyond the obvious. That he could look beyond what was happening now in this life to a greater thing that would cause it to be such, as he called it, light affliction. Do you remember Paul said, this light affliction? That's major to me. That's quite a list. And he held more tightly to his faith, and he looked forward to the day, and he could see the day coming when he would finally succumb to beheading. And he said, you know, he said to the in one of his letters, I have this thing bothering me. I'm pulled between two things. One to stay with you and help you, and the other one is to get on, to be with Christ. Is it that way with you? Not yet. It's not with me that way. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. But I think that we can do it. And I'll tell you how. Let's get a vision beyond this life right now. Because anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and that's just the way it is. So how do we have that faith that David said, you know, I will dwell in the secret place. I will be in his shadow. I will be under his wings. I will not fear the arrows that fly by day and the pestilences. We don't have to live in fear just because these things may happen, just because we may be thrown into a fiery furnace. Remember what the boys said. They said, if not, he is able to deliver us. And if not, I'm still going to serve God, and I'm not going to bow down to your idol, O King. So we need courage. Where do we get courage? Do we go to the wizard? Where do we go and get our heart? Where do we get our courage? Where do we get anything that's worthwhile getting? at the feet of Jesus, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Now we can walk around at peace, and whatever comes our way, comes our way. If we could look beyond just what is happening right now, just beyond this secular, this human life, it is a vapor, it will soon pass, and then we will be in eternity. And eternity is a long, long time, folks. In the light of eternity, Paul says this is light affliction. So how could Paul possibly take all of that? Because he saw something. Because he knew something. Because he experienced something. And because he lived something. We need to cultivate the closeness with God, the closeness with Jesus Christ, as Paul did. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I can face anything as long as I know and I believe and I have it firmly established in my heart that my God is with me. Whether I live, whether I die, I belong to Christ and I can take it. I know that I can make it. Jesus put it in my will to reach the New Jerusalem, and each step is a thrill. Though the devil wars against me to hinder my climb, I see the lights in the distance. It's just a matter of time. That's all it is, folks. We need to have an overcoming spirit about us. That whatever comes our way, and it's coming, folks. Each of us has our own walk to walk, and nobody's going to walk it for us. We walk it all by ourselves. We've got to be prepared to face no matter what comes, what may, and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, because he's coming. And whatever is happening in your life is preparing you for that. You may not have the courage. I may not have the courage. I may not have the want to suffer and to die, but I can do it if I will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and say, you can do it, Lord, I can't. You can give me the grace, you can give me the strength, and you can give me the courage I need to face no matter what comes. You can do it, Lord. And I can overcome, we can overcome. Whatever the things are in your life, you may be battling a sickness, you may be battling persecution, you may have a real struggle to make ends meet. And it just seems like struggle day after day. No matter what you do, it just comes to nothing. There's a hole in the bottom of the bag and all the money's falling out. Take heart. Look up. Look unto Jesus. Esteem the riches of Christ greater than whatever you could possibly find in this world. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? It's all vanity. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Why should I worry? Why should I be discouraged? For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. You can do it. You can overcome. Just get a little glimpse of what Paul saw. The first thing he saw was, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it, Paul? And the first thing that Paul said, what do you want me to do? So what does Jesus want us to do? Let's get a hold of this. Let's get a hold of this vision. Let's get a hold of the reality that Jesus said, I am with you even to the end of the world. No matter what comes, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to drive you away from out of the synagogues, it said. That means they're going to drive you out of their churches. They're going to hate you because they hated me first. He was willing to die for us. We should be willing to live for him. And living takes more than just existing. It means putting our whole effort and life and enthusiasm into the gospel. There are folks that have never heard it and they haven't heard it this way, and they haven't heard it from you, and they haven't heard it from me. We need to personalize, as Marcus did that psalm. He personalized it and he applied it to himself. We've got to apply this scripture to ourselves and say, we need to go out and we need to contact those who have not heard. We need to get in touch with those who have and encourage them to come. We need to talk to the people in the other churches and tell them that there's a Babylon to come out of. That what they have is good up to a point, but there's more. There is the way, the truth, and the life. There are the Ten Commandments that people have been neglecting. They do not understand that only 9 is not good enough. That God wants us to live for Him because He died for us. Shall we pray? Father, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to die. We don't want to be martyred. But if it brings glory to your name, it would be an honor. Help us to understand that you sold out all that you had. You gave it all. You gave it all up. And you came and you died on the cross. And you gave us an opportunity to become as you are now, glorified and in the heaven. Lord, we want to do your will. Help us to learn how to pray like you prayed and live like you lived and love like you loved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.